On this edition of the Car Jam podcast.
There's an intense conversation about carpets going on in here.
It's going to be 3 days straight of carpet talk.
What I particularly liked was as you brought us over to the toolkit and pointed out a spanner, Tony put the microphone toward it as if he was going to interview the spanner.
Why not? It might say something nice.
What's your favourite tool for working on a car like that?
Oh, big hammer.
Where have you brought me to this time? I've removed the blindfold and it looks like we're in Birmingham.
What a tool. Shall we get all the tool jokes out of the way?
I think that was the tool joke. Explain why what a tool is relevant to this edition of the Car Chum podcast.
NEC, again, for the Practical Classics restoration show.
Well done.
I got that wrong a minute ago, so
I let you do all the important stuff now. Yes, Practical Classics restoration show at the NEC in Birmingham. We have just arrived and it's busy, isn't it? There's a lot of cars here.
Well, this is day one as well, Friday, which is, I guess I would think, probably the quietest. I think I've couched that in enough doubt, haven't I? Probably the quietest day of a show. And yeah, no, you're right, busy. We've just walked in out of the press office and straight into hall five.
So immediately catching my eye, a Renault 19 convertible. That's a rare beast.
I can outfact you instantly on a Renault 19.
Go on.
So the Renault 19 was made, here comes a watery fact, very late 80s, I think. I can see it in an F plate in my head, something like that, through until the early 90s. A hatchback, no estate. There was a saloon version.
Indeed.
For a while. And then this convertible, which is actually quite a pretty convertible. With the humps on the back.
I'm just going to go and look and see what it says, what it's called. It is a Renault 19 Azure Cabriolet.
Azure. So much stuff was Azure.
I know it was. It's Azure without an E, that one.
Here comes the fact. The fact is that they were originally had a name, not just the Renault 19. Renault were trying to move away from their traditional numbering system and move to a name system. And if my memory serves me rightly, they called it the Chamade. Chamade.
Any idea what that meant?
No.
No. Was it just the name that the...
Yeah, it didn't stick. Word. It didn't land. No. And then eventually...
Chamade. It sounds like something that you'd shout when the magic trick goes wrong.
Yeah. And anyway, eventually reverted back to form and became the Renault 19.
Let's move on and see what else is here.
That's a V8 in the background there. I can definitely hear Mike. I'm not certain what. It's a long way away. What isn't a V8 is a straight four in front of us. Cosworth in a Sierra? Or have I got that completely
wrong? Well, I don't
know.
There's a chap working on it. Let's ask him.
Hello. Can we disturb you?
You can indeed,
sir. We're from the Car Chum podcast. What's your name?
My name's Alan Tolley.
And what are we standing in front of? Oh, in fact, before you give me the details, I said it's a Cosworth BDA engine. Is that? That's nonsense, isn't it? That's not right, is it?
No. This is a Sierra XR 4x4, originally with a 2.8 V6 cologne.
Yeah.
Whipped that out and put a Cosworth YB.
It's a YB.
Yes. YB.
That's the badger. Yeah, I had an XR 4x4 myself, so I'm familiar with... Make a nice sound, but there's not a lot of action, really.
No, it's got 100, they have 150 horse. They sound good when you open them up. But if you want proper power, you stick a Cosy YB engine in it.
So what would a YB have come in?
Sierra Cosworth, the original three doors in like 86, the RS500, and then they'd done the two-wheel drive Sapphire Cosworth, and then when people started binning those, they put four-wheel drive on it, and they run them up to 92.
Okay, so this dropped in, I imagine, reasonably easily, going from Sierra to Sierra.
Straight out with the V6, in with the 2-litre.
Type 9 gearbox?
No, MT75. Yeah.
That bit I knew, I just wanted to show off that I knew that bit. Right, you're working on it, you work on it at home, presumably. Yeah. What tools do you use? We're talking tools today. So what are your favourite tools? What do you really need for the Cosworth? What floats your boat with a tool? Because you love a tool, be honest.
I love tools all the time. The tools company that I go to is US Pro. I use their tools. I started add other things, but I just like the value of theirs. And my toolbox is over there, and that's just fault of US Pro Store.
Okay, we're going over there.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on. You know you want to show us your tools. There's the joke. Yeah.
So, everything here from half inch to 3/8, quarter inch, long studs, all my span. Most of my spanners are US Pro. Some of them are Halfords bits. So Allen key bolts, impacts for torque bits. They're US Pro. Nut extractor. Screwdriver bits.
They're nice and clean as well. You're getting that, yeah. Okay, so you, because you, when you said you want to show us your toolbox, so to speak, you know that it's going to be clean. Cause,
yeah. Even when after use them, get all over them, I just clean them up and just keep it clean and tidy.
To be honest with you, they do last then, don't they?
Yeah. They do indeed, yes.
Now, I am always losing 12mm sockets. Is this a universal thing, or is it just
me? No, mine's 10mm.
10mm, is it?
Yeah, yeah. I've got like 4 or 5 10mm sockets in various sizes of 3/8, quarters and half inches.
Ever shattered one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's wrong not to.
I wonder what you were going to say then with the first four letters of that. Ever shattered ever, one?
Yes. Yeah. That's me. I talk it, and that's all. I've got this one that I keep in my workshop at home. But then I have a specific toolbox and toolkit for the race car. So it doesn't have a full set of sockets. It only has the sockets that I need just for that car. But because we're here, we're working on the mate's car, I bought the big one.
And I don't know if we actually asked what you're doing on your car.
Full service, so coolant's been changed, which gets done every year. Gearbox fluid, that's been changed. New thermostat housing, rerouting coolant hoses, because I've got a bit of a temperature issue. Because the turbo runs next to it.
Yep.
So that's been ripped out and been rerouted. New brake discs, new brake pads, new studs, new wheel nuts, because I stretch those over time, so they just get changed as well.
Confident you got everything you need with you?
No.
Oh, excellent.
And all the Jubilee clips, I'm going for a walk later, and I know the sizes that I need, so I'm just going to go for a walk and just have a look around.
Brilliant.
Mike, what size was it you wanted again?
Yeah, I needed a 12mm.
In there
what I particularly liked was as you brought us over to the toolkit and pointed out a spanner, Tony put the microphone toward it as if he was going to interview the spanner.
Why not? They might say something nice.
Thanks for your time.
No worries, have a good day, gents.
I think we might have to creep up behind this one. This is the Oxford University's Motorsport Foundation.
You made the mistake of looking at me. There's an intense conversation about carpets going on in here.
It's going to be 3 days straight of carpet talk.
So, what's happening? Two of you in here, but first of all, who are you both?
We're Oxford University's Motorsport Foundation. We are a student-led society at university, and we just restore and race classic cars.
And this is Amy.
Yeah.
And my name is Thomas. I'm the president of the club. We've been around for a while. We do mostly racing, and this is our first road car, if you will. So we're trying to get something roadworthy that we can show off to people when we go to shows like this.
What is the car?
Kestrel 1300 with all kinds of bits and bobs off of Vanden Plasses and basically anything else that we can find.
And you're working on it, Amy?
Yes, I am. I've not been involved that much because I'm a first year and this has been gone for 3 years. But
light restoration started three years ago.
But I'm trying to get involved in just the finishing touches, hopefully, to getting this on the road.
For the next year.
And the finishing touches at the moment, it looks like I've just entered Carpet Right or Carpet World.
We've got some, what is this called again? Kill Mat. And that helps to stop the vibrations travelling so much through the car when you're on the road. Also acts as a bit of insulation. We've got underlay going down and also the carpet. We've also just recently finished the headlining kit.
Lots of work going on. We'll be doing all kinds of things trying to glue these in, but these carpets came out of a Vanden Plas, so obviously they're not going to be easy to fit because there were some different things in them. So there's quite a bit of work to do to get them.
Any specialist tools to do these jobs?
Most of it's just common sense and fit it 8 times and then hope that God it fits at the end.
Tony, you've dragged me away from one of my favourite cars, a Volvo 262 Bertone, which is in the auction. Why have you brought me over here? What are we looking at now?
Well, mainly to keep me moving, because I'm a sucker for an auction.
There's at least 12 Range Rovers over there that I'm fighting to keep you away from. But
there's a couple of XJSs in there. A Vandenplaar 4-litre R parked next to an unmentionable car that we shouldn't keep mentioning.
One of those Rovers that we keep talking about. Yeah.
A Jag S Type R here. They're good value. 400 horsepower. Looks rather nice, actually, in black with a guide of 8 to 10. But anyway, it's over here.
Rather tasty Mark II Granada next to it as well, which is a reasonably low-spec car.
Unusual to see a low-spec. 2.8 GL, so the sort of the poverty spec, but very nice condition. They've done 20-something thousand miles.
Here is a Heckfloss. I'm using my German there. Do you know what Heckfloss means?
I'm going to think it's going to be Fintail.
It is Fintail. So obviously we are looking at... Well, you tell me. You dragged me over.
Well, a Mercedes Fintail, 1964. The reason I did is that not only am I a sucker for an auction, but I'm a sucker for anything that looks as if it might be slightly rally-ish or road rally-ish. Or, you know, kind of semi-competition but usable on the road. And this ticks all those boxes. It's dark blue. It's got some arrows on the front to show you where to lift the bonnet. It's got a checkerboard roof, steelies, steel wheels.
Racing seats and a roll cage.
Yeah.
Or roll bar.
And
roll cage. Yeah. Yeah, got a six-point cage.
And a couple of stickers on the door.
Stickers on the door, really, makes a race car.
Exactly. That's all you need to do for me, and I'm in. Now, it's not in perfect condition because it's clearly used for that. The number plate, the aluminium. Aluminium number plate's all a little bit
lightweight.
And it's got some kind of timing device on the dashboard.
Yeah, that'll be clocks, won't it?
Yeah, I love them.
Stages and things, or for how quickly you can get to Waitrose.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing, and I won't deny it. And obviously, the Fintails had a pretty enviable track record in rallying. I mean, they took these through Monte Carlo in the 60s and the 50s. They were a really good race car for a luxury Mercedes.
I forgot a feature that gets me as well. It's not just the stickers. Spotlights.
Spotlights.
Always spotlights as well.
You are a thing for spotlights. Tony's just fitted two spotlights to his Saab 900, just so...
Just so.
That's a pretty car.
Yeah.
Let's have it. $6,000 each.
Sam Glover.
What are you here with today, Sam?
The Jarrett Car Club.
And what are we doing?
All sorts of things. So there's a Bradford being taken apart over there, another Bradford being put back together next to it, and this Jarrett Javelin, which is being kind of gently recommissioned.
It looks quite solid, but in need of love. Would that be a fair description?
It's extraordinarily solid, yeah. I think it was pushed into a garage in the 60s with a failed water pump, but nothing else wrong with it. And it's been there ever since. I think it was dragged out 3 years ago.
This used to happen, didn't it, back in the day? Something really minor would put a car off the road, and then they'd go, oh, well, that's it then. That's the end of the car.
And then, fortunately, it's looked after for several generations and pops out again.
Because Jowett kept their parts department going for years after the company closed, so right up into the late 60s you could still get bits, so it's quite an odd thing to hear that this was taken off the road.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a can't-get-the-parts-you-know kind of situation. It's possible.
So we're talking today on the Car Chum podcast specifically about tools. So what tools are you using on the Jowett here, and what couldn't you do without?
Whitworth spanners are the oddity from my point of view, because I'm used to slightly more modern classics and European classics, so not British stuff. And these are such a weird combination of very forward-thinking European engineering principles and old-school British manufacture. So it's monocoque construction, hydraulic brakes all round, flat four engine, but uses Whitworth fasteners everywhere. It's a strange juxtaposition.
What's the rules of the show here? Is there anything you can't do? I'm presuming you can't weld.
No, Chris is welding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chris is very good at writing risk assessments. And, he's had everything covered, basically. So he's got screens up and all kinds of stuff so he can weld panels.
Okay, so spray paint?
I think as long as it's... I think he's done that in the past. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe he had to do that outside from memory. He might have had to set up a gazebo.
And are you allowed to start and run? I mean, there's not too much chance with the javelin at the moment, is there? But are you allowed to start and run later?
Possibly the end of the last day. I think they're a little bit protective of that. But actually, there's not much between this and running. I was just looking at it. I think last year somebody went through it reasonably well. I was just looking at the carburettors, the fuel pump, and the distributor, and they all look like somebody's been there. The engine turns over. So yeah,
I'd never admit that. I'd say no one has touched this since it was parked up in 1960 something. Look how quick I am.
And now it's turnkey.
Yeah, no, I'll change my story next time somebody asks.
Work on it first.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sam.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Sarah Hartland.
And what do you do?
I am head of marketing at Joper Tools.
So you know a thing or two about tools or just marketing?
I'd like to say a bit of both, but don't put me on the spot.
Think, Mike. Think,
you could
difficult
always
question.
Lie. We're not going to know.
So why are you at the show?
I'm at the show today just to see what's going on, to have a chat to people, see what tools are of interest, just to be here to mingle with people, really.
Here goes with something awkward for you.
Uh-oh.
Show us, take us to, on the stand. Yes, yeah, no, you're squirming, I can see already. Your favourite tool.
Look at right, it's go. Not quite a tool, it's storage, but I can explain.
No, that counts as a tool. We're heading off very quickly through the stand. It's a big stand.
Challenge Annika, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? I'm getting fit as well.
Hey!
Okay, what have we got here?
So, we're at Bunker by Joper Tools. This is our range of roller cabs. We also have modular storage. Bunker launched about 2 years ago, so part of the Joper family. Joper's obviously been going 105 years. Bunker is just a brilliant range of storage, comes with a 10-year warranty.
Okay, you're getting into sales.
I'm trying, I am marketing though.
Right.
Go easy on me.
What I can describe it as, for the Car Chum podcast listener, is something that's nicer than your kitchen, Mike. I can absolutely guarantee that. It's got a wood top. Is it actually a wood top?
Yes, it is. Yeah, hardwood. Yes.
Nice. So the idea, I suppose, is if you take a chunk out of it, you can sand it, you can make it flat again. And then we've got a load of drawers.
Yes, so the drawers are foam lined with the EVA foam. Nice. And the drawers are soft close as well. They're on the runners at the side. Okay. So when you do that,
look at that. Again, it's better than my kitchen. Never mind yours, Mike, actually.
Yeah, mine.
Definitely better than your kitchen, Tony.
Well, when you look at this double-sided unit, this could be an island in your kitchen, you see.
Yeah, I can see the bottle of wine.
Yes,
I can see
absolutely.
The olives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, knives and forks would fit nicely in here.
Wouldn't it just? I would like one for my kitchen.
Can I cross your barrier here? Yeah, I can. Tony from the Car Chum podcast is my name. Who are you?
Michael.
Michael and
Ryan.
And who's over there on the flute?
Mike.
Okay. From the what are you? Greasy Geezer's Garage.
Yeah, it's Ford Corsair Owners Club.
Okay. I stopped because we're doing our podcast this week about tools. And you're all busy down here, all three of you, and it looked a bit like a band to me. You know, you look like you're going to play. So what instruments are you playing?
I'm guessing recorder.
A shock absorber recorder.
That's right. Yeah.
With played with a wire brush.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and what are we up to over here?
Just sanding down a dashboard so we can get some paint on it and, stick it back into the car again. So we're trying to do a full rebuild on this, get it all reassembled.
Wow.
Before the end of the show.
Okay, so you've got a body in grey.
Yeah.
Ready to for reassembly. And have you got all the bits here?
All here, all laid out here.
Wow.
All the panels inside the truck over the other side. Well, just where that guy is. Behind the post there. See the old transit van? All the panels are in there, so it's all be reassembled afterwards.
Fantastic. Go on. Before I head off, give us another play on your instrument. Thanks, gents. Best of luck.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much indeed.
Look at this, Tony. Minis with different bodies on. This is the mini kits, mini-based kit cars and derivatives stand. And basically, they've managed to make minis look smaller.
to be honest with you, I'm not certain that I would recognise any of them specifically as a Mini, because they're all fibreglass bodied. And as we walked up, there's one that's labelled the grit bin because it's yellow and it looks a little bit like those grit bins on the side of the road that say salt on them, don't they?
Yeah, grit for the winter bins. I just understood that when you explained it.
Well, that's what I'm here for. But as we walked up, there's two guys on the stand lifting it.
Yeah, because it's so light.
Yeah.
I mean, you can virtually pick up an old Mini anyway. But, yeah, I imagine chopping 3 feet out the centre of one makes it a lot less heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that's a Scamp, which is kind of like a Moke, but with a different body shell. So it looks a bit Moke-like. And then that's a Nomad, which is... So if you imagine someone took the back half of a very small Land Rover and put it on a Mini body.
Yes. The roof in particular is almost exactly the same as a Land Rover, isn't it? Just sort of two-thirds scale.
Interesting. I like it.
Mark Gray, I'm representing the RSR, Rover Sports Register, and I also represent our business, which is MGBD Services.
And that's
in P6s.
Rover P6s, we all know I've got one. What's your favourite tool for working on a car like that?
Oh, big hammer.
I'm sure there's a song in there too. Good show that, though. I particularly like the thought that some of the exhibitors had brought their cars along just to work on them somewhere different, and with an ever-changing set of passers-by looking on, of course. That and the barn finds section, jolly good fun. Right, I'm dragging Car Chum bang up to date in the next episode. We're talking road testing, EVs and Car of the Year with noted juror and serial road tester Vicky Parrott. Don't miss that. Until next time, pip pip.